right, very cool. That's all happening. If I can just invite Julie and Dee to come and join me up here, that would be cool. Who wants to hold this first? You want a paper, scissors, rock for that? Okay, I'll give it to Julie. There you go. You've each had a touch. That's cool. This morning, as one of our life in life Sundays, we take a moment, I guess, every second week to look at the preceding week's truth or idea or principle that we've learnt from God's Word, and to see what that might look like in our lives. And I'm actually going to kick this morning off with a little story of my own to do with mums, okay? Because we've got two amazing mums up here who are going to share with us something of their journey of loving God with all their heart and soul, which was our text last week. But I love the way that God loves us first, and that's a very almost like specific personal thing. And we're going to hear something of that from Julie and Dee as they share with us their journey of actually loving God. Very much comes out of a growing experience and knowledge of His love for us. And I thought it was cool what Nick was saying earlier, that that when we love Him, that there's this unimaginable stuff that He's going to do in our lives. And so God just surprised me this morning with one, which was cool. So I was just as my final prep for this session, I was looking at a couple of scriptures to do with mums, and I found this one, and I was trying to think of how it was applicable to the panel, and I thought, well, it's not applicable to Dee, and if I say it's applicable to Julie, that might not be such a cool thing to say, because there was this text that was talking to us as believers and telling us how we should treat one another, and it said to treat older women as mothers. Have you read that? Like it actually says in the New Testament, it's talking about the fact that we should treat the older woman in our community, our church community, we should actually treat them, really it's saying, like our mums. And I almost thought that, Julie, because you're a little bit older than me, but not that much older. So, and then this cool thing happened today. So some of you know Alan and Joan, and that they're a couple who have been part of this church since it began, and also I'm connected to them because they're in my actual family, because they're my wife Lorraine's uncle and aunt. And it's Joan's birthday today. And so I sent her this message today and just about her birthday. And it was cool. Like I was just in the front of the cafe there, and I was just standing there just trying to think of words to say to her, and I was just sharing those with her, and that's between her and me. And it didn't dawn on me till after I'd sent it, because, see, my mum passed away like a few years back, and I suddenly realised, oh, wow, I just got to treat an older woman in our family as a mum. And I thought, you know what, like even when our mums are gone, we're still part of this family and we can still have the sense of mums around us. And I think that's really cool. And so today, as we want to honour all of the mums in our church family and our own mums, it is a special time to do that. But we're actually called to have a sense of that in our daily lives, of just treating those who are mums amongst us and mothers to us, these amazing women that God has placed within our church family, to treat them as our mums. And I think that's cool. So good job to have you two mums here today. So we're going to sort of introduce Dee and Julie to you by way of doing the typical mum thing, which is mums like to take the limelight off themselves and project it onto others because they don't like it being on them. So we're going to look at your families first. So I don't know who's going to come up first there. We'll just see how it plays out. Who's the first family we've got on screen? It's not that one. Let's go there. We're coming. I'm not sure who it is. Are we there? We're still looking for it. Oh, we just might have to pick one of you anyway. Do I need to just carry on? Okay, I'll just carry on. So Julie, you got the microphone. So you are a mum. I think you're like all mums, you're the super mum, and I've known you as a person who is a mother for a long time. But tell us a little bit about your mothering clan and family and what that is for you. Describe your world as a mum to us.
Okay, I'm the mother of four beautiful girls. and it was fun growing up with them. I think I grew up with my daughters. And now they are bringing the boys home, so they're actually choosing my sons, which is really cool. I didn't have to raise the boys. And so I've got some lovely son-in-laws, and I now have six and a little bit grandchildren. A little bit is there, but she's not out yet.
Cool. That's awesome. Dee, what about for you?
Okay, I've got four children. My eldest is, we're counting down the days to her sixth birthday, 12 days to go till she's six, and that's Alyssa. Then I've got Tyler, who's just gone four, Levi, who's coming up three, and Madeline is one. So we are little and loud.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, obviously there's, I mean, when you're a mum, I mean, Dee, especially like at your stage, it's like that's pretty all-consuming, all around you, in your face all the time. Julie, for you, you can pick and choose, you know, you can give the grandkids back, you know. So you've journeyed on from that, but certainly that's, like you were saying, that's shaped you and it's been a key part of your life. Just tell us, Dee, for you, as you're a mum in the thick of it, I mean, I know there's some parts of it that are a challenge and we might get to that, but what do you love about being a mum?
I just love being there and watching them experience life and learn the new things in life and being able to celebrate that with them. Like, I'm allowed to be so proud that they can dress themselves, that they can... the first time Alyssa brought home a school book and she could read it all by herself, and I could be so proud along there with her, riding a new bike, two-wheelers, dropping those trainers or whatever. It's just, I'm allowed to be so proud and I get to watch them learning these new things every day, and it's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. And as you're amongst them doing that, tell us, like, what's one of your favourite ways to just show them you love them?
I love to be stupid with my children, throwing them around or dancing, playing the goof with them, just constantly throwing love at them, giving them a massive hug in the morning. Calling Alyssa my princess or, you know, my boys, my handsome princes, and just getting in there close beside them.
That's cool. That's cool. What about for you, Julie?
That's so cool. When Campbell asked me that question, I was like, oh, I found it really hard to answer because I couldn't define one thing that I enjoyed about being a mother. It's like, I could think, oh, I enjoyed when they were babies, but there was things I didn't like about babies. There was, and I couldn't pull out one thing. It's like it was all encompassing. I just love being a mum.
Yeah.
And to show them love, I think, was the thing I enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
Was knowing that my girls knew that they were loved and cared for and safe. That was my best thing. Yeah. That was kind of my goal.
Man, that's cool. Both of you have families where you're the mum, but there's a dad, right? And in both your cases, that's your partner, your husband, Ben and Graham. So Julie, tell us about, like, Graham gets to be dad, you are mum, he's now granddad, you're grandma, and you probably have special names for that. What are these special names? Oh,
Nan and Popper.
Nan and Popper, that's cool. Hey, Popper. And so if you could, like, transfer something about the mum dad thing over, if you could, like, swap something with Graham, what would that be? Like, if you were allowed to go, Graham, you can wear that from now on, I'm gonna have your part, like, what would that be?
Well, the obvious things is like the painful things.
Yeah.
But when I thought about that, I more had things that I would like to have of him rather than passing on.
Yeah.
And I think for dads, they're the fun guys, not mushrooms. But thank you. Because I'm not the funny one. Dads are fun, they do fun things. But the other day, I got a text from Helen. She's our youngest and she's on the Gold Coast, and she was really frightened because the storm was bearing down and the sky was black and eerie and everyone was going home, and the boss had said to her that she could go home if she felt her life was threatened or she could stay at work. And so she was in this dilemma and she was all nervous. So she texts me, and I guess because she was expecting what I would do would be to comfort her, and that's what I would do. I'd pick up my text, my phone, and text her back and say, "It's going to be all right." Well, this particular day, I'd left my phone at home and I was at work, and so Graham was minding my phone. So he decided to be the mum, and he responded to her. And he responded with, "Hi, Helen, I think you're going to be all right. Just treat life as an adventure. I think we've protected you far too much over your life." A real dad response. And the funny thing is, she immediately responded back with, "Mum, are you drunk?" And in that moment, I just thought, I thought, actually, I'm really pleased with who I am. I'm glad that we're different. Yeah. So I don't want, he can stay fun.
Yeah, fair enough. What about for Dee, for you? What would you swap with Ben?
I was the same as Julie. I didn't really want to pass on the mum stuff, but I wanted to bring Dad into my world, and the thing I thought of was actually, can I please go to the bathroom without an entourage with me?
There you go.
Dad always gets to go to the bathroom without four. I don't.
That is funny. Hey, well, as we think about the both of you as mums, and we want to sort of carry that on a little bit, but I guess one of the things that when we were doing the planning up till today and we were considering this look that we did last week at God's call on every one of us to love him with all our heart, soul and strength, and then we saw it was Mother's Day, we thought, what a great fit, because mums know how to love, don't they? Like, there's the mother's heart, you know? It's just like, it's like that thing you had with Helen. It's like, you're going to, you know, have the right words, not the it'll be okay words. It's like there's this mother's, I don't know, it's a touchy-feely kind of hard to get your hands around if you're a guy thing. And so we thought, well, that's great, because if we're learning about expressions of love, how to love God, well, what better source than to go to mums? Because they've obviously got that down. Like, for a mum, it comes more naturally, this idea of expressing love, because you're doing it all the time with your kids. And so we thought it'd be great today that what we're going to do is find out from these two mums, who represent our mums, how you express your love for God. And in some ways, it because you're already expressing love to your kids, and they're very inconsistent, and they're not always lovable, whereas his God, completely consistent, unchanging, very lovable all the time. And so for the two of you, I guess just what are your thoughts about that as you come and think, man, this loving God, this is how it works for me. It's like it's just a flow on from my mother heart.
That would be nice if it was.
Yeah.
But no. I think in my life I am so busy, from breakfast to getting dressed. This is a new nappy for you, a new nappy for you. Have you got your school bag, school lunch? Have you been to the toilet? Where are your shoes again? Let's walk to school, let's run to kindy, bike to kindy, let's get home, morning tea for you. It's 10 o'clock in the morning by the stage. I haven't stopped at all. My children are in my face, they're screaming at me. Madeline is screaming at me. I'm just busy, that God is just gone. Like, he's way back here because he's the quiet, still one. My children are here and I'm doing them daily. And so, no, I do forget to love God very, very easily.
Yeah.
Whoa, it's like a memory. It does get better. Consistency, I think I was more consistent loving my kids than I am ever consistent in loving God. I'm up and down with God. In my love, showing my love for him. But that idea, I remember what it was like, and I'm feeling like maybe I need to say that later. No, I'll say it now. I do recall that feeling of God not being there, but now when I look back, I actually see that God was there the whole time, and that you are actually loving your children. You're loving God by loving your children, by doing those things that God's called you to do. And loving God isn't sitting down looking at your Bible, although that's important, but showing love to God comes through the job that he's given you to do.
You were saying something else the other day, Julie, too, that that there's this thought that you have when you're a young mum and it's all so busy and you're just thinking, there'll come a day when the loving God will be easier because my life will be more simple and I'll have more time. And you were talking to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking to some young couples last night about the same thing, spending time with their husbands as well. And I do remember thinking, oh, I'm so busy, I can't wait till the kids go to school. I can't wait till they can look after themselves. And it's actually, as I've got more time, I actually have to make time to spend with God. It doesn't actually come naturally, and I think that's no different when you're a busy mum, that it doesn't just come, you have to actually make those times. And sometimes it's not a time of sitting down reading, it's actually time in your head where you actually acknowledge God rather than a time of sitting in quiet.
Yeah, thanks for that. So even though we can have this idea that mums, you know, comes easy for mums, what you're telling us, it doesn't. It's probably similar of experience to many of us as well. I do wonder in that, it's almost like in reverse. So you can think, oh, here you are, you're the mum, and you're the one who's meant to be unconditional, meant to be unchanging. These kids are inconsistent at times, and there's different things going on, and you've got to be the stable part there, loving them always, and you probably do a great job at that. But suddenly we're in reverse, where you're the children, and your Father in heaven, he's the one who's actually like father and mother to you, caring for you, and he's constant and he's stable, and you're now the not always lovable one, and yet he says of us, it's almost like he's going, oh, well, you need to grow up and be stable and consistent in your relationship towards me. You need to actually love me. And so that's what I want to talk about today, so that even though you might find yourself as feeling like you're now the little kid who's not so lovable all the time, he's actually saying, no, but you can do this. As I'm loving you, I want you to respond to love me. And when he says love you, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, that's like with all your deep inner self and all of yourself, and with all your strength, that's like more and more. It's almost like he's saying, I want you to love me more and more, continually, consistently. So I want to explore that, because I know that that's not always our experience. And so I've got a couple of questions here along with that. So firstly, Dee, if you want to grab the mic, for you, as you think about God's love for you, before we just get to the questions of our love for him, I guess this does lead there, as you consider God and his love for you and how he's shown that through the years, what do you love most about God?
I love that God loves to teach us about him through our life experiences, through our everyday. He's showing him to us. And when you asked me this, I thought of, like, I still remember holding Alyssa in my arms 2 days after she was born. We'd just gone to Waterford, and here she was in my arms, and this whole, like, unconditional love, just, like, my heart was just like, woof, this huge thing. And, you know, I've read in the Word all the time, you know, unconditional love, God loves you so much, unconditional love. And I always thought I got it, but then I got it so much more when I had this baby in my arms and she was mine, and I was like, whoa, that's huge, it's massive. And then that's just me as a human to my child, like, God is bigger again. And it's just, it's amazing to fathom, like, how much he loves us. And the other thing I thought of when you asked me that was just, again, love, but also grace. Like, Tyler is our troublesome one with hitting. He's always hitting Alyssa, Melon, Levi, everybody. Hit it, hit. And I'm like, Tyler, come on, gentle hands. Show me your hands. Are they gentle? Yes. I won't hit anymore. I'm 4 now. I won't hit anymore. Good boy, yes. 2 seconds later, kaboom, he's frustrated and he hits again. But, you know, like, it's constant. He's always hitting, but I still love him. Like, he's stuffing up all the time, but I still love him. And that's just the thing with God. Like, how many times do I stuff up all the time with snapping at my kids or you know, thinking those thoughts or whatever? It's just constant stuff ups. But, you know, if I can still love my boy, then I know that God is still going to love me, like, no matter what, because he's just that much bigger and better than I am.
And I think over time what happens, that you can have that with your kids, is that And you'll find, say with Tyler, as he grows older and he starts to really see and understand that consistent love for him, he'll start to gain expression of his love for you. And I think that's what's happening in our lives. It's like we're like that. So you're seeing this way that God loves you, and then from that comes the response, which is really cool. Hey, Julie, what about for you? What is there in God that you, in your relationship with him, that you just love about him?
Consistency.
Yeah.
He doesn't change.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I'm feeling or thinking. I can know that he's, especially of his love, I don't have to earn it. It's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the verse that spoke to me the most in my part, can I read it?
Yeah. Go.
Can I? In Romans 8. Thank you. We've got a connection with this verse, Lisa. You know this verse. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just love that, because even when I read that and I don't believe it, it's still true.
Yeah. We'll come back to that soon, because I know that that's an important part of your journey as well. Just while we're with you, Julie, for you, so you love God, you love this unchangingness about him and the consistency of his love for you. How do you love him and you're loving him? I don't know what the way to describe it. It's almost like, what's your sweet spot like? Like, when, how do you most love to love God?
Short word, obedience.
Yeah.
When I know that I've obeyed him, yeah. I know that I'm showing him love.
Yeah. So what might that look like?
When he's prompted me to do something and I do it, I don't... Like, he prompts me to do something and I do it. Sometimes I don't see the outworking of that. But an example?
Yeah.
A few weeks ago I had a phone call from a young mum, not anyone that you guys know, but she was having trouble with her health and her marriage was breaking up, and she rang and asked for some advice, and so I talked her through a few things. And then I went away on holiday and I came back and I thought, oh, that's right, I need to be back in touch with her and see how things are going. And I put it off a couple of days, and then I get this prompt in again, you really need to be in touch with this woman. So I text her and just said, how are things going? How's your health? Have you done what I told you to do? And she texts back, she said, that's amazing you should text me today, because I've just been in touch with who you told me to be in touch with, and it's all underway. I'm starting to do what you said. And then a little bit later she sent me another text and she said, did they tell you to text me today, or did you just text me? Was that a coincidence? And so I text back and I said, it was a God incidence. And she said that was pretty cool. Yeah. And it was like how by doing that I showed God my love for him by loving someone else. She felt loved by me, but it was actually God's love. She knew that God was interested in her situation. And then I felt loved by God because he was using me to minister to somebody who needed to know his love.
Yeah. When you were sharing that with me the other day, there's an extra piece to that, I think, that you were saying, is that that as you've come to understand how that works, In a sense, we don't really understand, but God's prompting you, and when you're obedient, and then you get to sometimes see how that all knits together. You're just sharing, like in those moments, you're learning, as you see that, learning's the wrong word, but you're experiencing a great joy and a heart that is towards God in those moments, eh? Mm. I don't know if you can describe that or...
You said it really well, actually, Campbell.
I know, just like even when you're sharing, you had a joy with that, but then we were talking like, what do you do with that? And there's a sense in which that is your offering to God. That is your love for Him.
It is. It is. And I think it's a sense of freedom because I'm doing it because I love Him.
Mm.
It's not because I have to be obedient to Him. I don't have to. He doesn't give me a set of rules that I have to do this and do this and check it off.
Yeah. So let's just go there. So we're going to come back to you soon, Dee. But so you talk about the unchangingness of God and that's something you really love about Him, the consistency of His love for you. And you've come to this place now where you where there's these times when you follow His promptings and you see Him at work, that it gives you like this joy and you're almost like in this stage where you just offer that as love to Him. And something you've mentioned and you were talking the other day about, there's a freedom in that. It's not like, oh, obedience is my way I love God, as in I look at the Ten Commandments, have them listed up each day, check them off and go, got it down, I loved God today because I did A, B, C, D, 1 to 10. But more that you're feeling like there's a freedom of expression of love in obedience and following His word and His promptings. You haven't always had that freedom, and there's a sense in which this unchanging God, His consistent love for you, is so valuable to you because of almost like your life has in the past been the opposite of that. Talk to us about that, your younger years leading through, like what's that journey been to where you are now? Because I know it was very different before.
So when I first came to know the Lord, I worked really hard to keep Him happy. and should I go back to where that comes from is a childhood where I didn't feel loved or didn't feel wanted. So my mum left when I was just a few weeks old and left me and my two sisters with my dad, and he did a great job, did the best he could, and he married a lady who wasn't interested in looking after someone else's kids, so she was quite emotionally and physically abusive, and my dad did the best he could to work with that and turned a blind eye to a lot of it. So I guess it meant that I didn't know what love was, and I felt that I needed to earn love. So I'd work really hard, even as a little girl, to please my mum, to make her smile. This is my stepmum. If she smiled, it was like, wow, I've done something right. So when I became a Christian, that's the way that I treated God. It was his love had to be earned. And so I would be constantly trying to do things, but I could never quite measure up, because I'd do something that I think was really good, and then I think, oh, maybe that wasn't good enough, so I'd have to do something else, and then I'd get down on my knees and ask for His forgiveness again for being such a failure, and it was just so tiring and wearying. And so when I realised that God actually loved me, and I don't think there was a point where I realised that, it's been a process of learning that God loves me. So that's where that freedom comes, to obey Him. I'm not doing it to please Him or make Him happy. I'm doing it because He loves me and because I want to. And that's quite different to doing things because I have to.
Yeah. And so there's all this change going on. And I know one of the things that you were in the practice of doing is writing down your thoughts and feelings to Him, towards Him, and what you were learning, whether it be from the Word or experience. And so, in a sense, you were being vulnerable and open your heart to Him. But you wrote some stuff in the last year down that was more like almost like writing to yourself. And that's even changed something recently in like your relationship with God. Talk to us about that.
So even though I learnt that God loved me, and I know it says it in His word, it still rears its head that I don't feel loved. And so sometimes I go in this downward spiral of not knowing God's love. And I know it says in His word that He does, and it's true, but why would He love me, But last year, November, I was at a seminar. It wasn't a Christian seminar, and I had the opportunity to write myself a letter that would be sent to me in 3 or 4 months' time. And in that letter I wrote, I hope that you will learn God's love for you this year.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to me, it was already in the pipeline. God already had that worked out, that this year was going to be a year that I learned about His love.
Yeah.
So that was pretty powerful, that I'd written that letter asking God to teach me about his love, and it was already happening.
Yeah, so you got the letter?
Yeah, I got the letter and I opened it up and it said, I hope you're learning about God's love. And it wasn't that I've learned about God's love. Like I said before, I'm learning it, and in that I knew that I was loved.
Yeah, yeah. So for those of you maybe who are visitors to here might not know the context to that, this year as a church family we've chosen to have a whole year just devoted to love, to better knowing and experiencing God's love for us, and in turn being encouraged to love Him, love each other, to love the world. And so for Julie, the timing of this letter, you know, of desire to know about God's love and to love Him, was that she's part of this family, and suddenly at a similar time to getting the letter was getting told, oh, by the way, we want to encourage you all to experience and know God's love this year, which has been exciting just to hear that from you. And I know for you, it's like this is a year where you're intentionally wanting to know more of His love and to love Him.
That's the word, the intentional, because I had searched for God's love before, but this time, and I think Dave spoke about it, one of the first sessions we had this year was being intentional, and that's what it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Julie. Dee, for you, I've got to find out where we are. You've got this love of seeing God at work in your life and showing Himself to you, and you talked about like through your kids and that. And so tell us what some of the ways are that you express your love back to Him, like your favourite ways to love God.
My favourite way to love God is singing and worshipping.
Yeah.
I love to sing. And so, like this morning, cranking. Sorry, Pearson's in front of me. I hear my voice. At home, it's if I'm cleaning or whatever, I'll crank the music loud, or if the kids go down to bed, I'll put on like more some soft worship. It just depends on my mood. It could be soft, it could be cranking, it could be whatever, but I just love to sing.
Yeah. So having said that, so one is that's sort of how you're wired. You love to sing. And then we have songs like this morning, you know, where we're singing, I mean, we're literally singing, I love you, Jesus. So as the singing kind of person, there's a sense in which singing comes easy for you. But are there ever times when that you'd actually go, what am I singing? Like, do I love singing or do I love Jesus right now? Is there a chance that even this person who loves to sing can be faking what's actually being sung? Like, what's your experience around that?
I think maybe it's more not necessarily faking, but maybe it's just turning off and not thinking about it. Maybe it's just becoming monotonous in the things that I do. And so sometimes I will purposely, intentionally love God and sing for Him, and other times it'll just be, you know, dum-de-doo, life is my life, carrying on. So, yeah.
But sometimes for you also, that's a go-to place when things aren't so good. Is that right?
Yeah. Like it just, when I sing, it clears my head. I can just sing my heart out to God, and the mess of life disappears. And if I'm in that place, I can just worship and feel really close and loved.
Yeah. This question, it was like it was written for you. As you are busy loving kids and your husband and your neighbours and everyone else's kids, and I know even this last week, you actually were intentionally loving other people's kids, which I think when I heard that story, that's another story, but just really admire that in you. But there's this thing of like, how do you find time to love God, like when all of that's going on?
I did love this question, and I think every mum needs to look at this question, and like Julie touched on it before as well, that when we are cooking that meal for our friend, we are loving God, because he said, if you love me, obey my commands. And I think sometimes you think about it and you're like, yes, I'm doing this because God has asked me to, and then other times you're just doing it, but it's that love coming out. So and when you love your husband and respect and listen, you are loving God, because that is what he has asked you to do. And your kids, when you raise them and talk to them, you are loving God. So for me, it was a real nice affirmation this week that actually there is a lot of what I do. Like, I feel like, oh man, I don't have time to love God, and I feel really bad in myself for not loving God. And it was really nice to stop this week and be like, oh man, I am actually loving God in my life and in my everyday, and it felt really good to me to stop and think about that. But equally, the personal loving God, the sitting in quiet, is really hard. For 6 years now with kids, I've been totally useless at picking up my Bible. Like, it's pretty dusty. And so, yeah, I've really struggled to have that love, that personal love to God, of the open the word and let God speak to me love. And, yeah, so I have to be really deliberate about it. And with this whole journey that our church is doing this year on loving God, that was what I decided to do, because in my day I have 45 minutes where Melon goes to sleep and I put the boys in their room and they have room time because they don't sleep anymore, but I put them in their room and they play with their toys and they have a quiet time. And that is my precious, precious time of no children. And normally I rush around prepping dinner or tidying the house or just doing those jobs that you just have to get done.
Yeah.
And it's very precious time. But this year I made the decision to give that time to God. And so I put the kids to bed in their room and I sit with a cup of coffee and I open the Bible and I pull out my journal and I just... and Jen actually helped me start it. She's like, Dee, it's only 10 minutes. Like, even just start with 10 minutes. And I'm like, actually, I can fit 10 minutes into my day. I can do that. And so it was a good starter for me. It's simple. It is simple. It's 10 minutes. But it is intentional and deliberate. And I had to give away the vacuuming, as stupid as that sounds. But still, you know, like, you want to vacuum the house. It's such a mess.
But for you, that is important. It's because huge. You value productivity. You do. That's part of who you are. And that piece of time has been your, I can get everything sorted, get some part of my life, you know, have a resemblance of being organised. That's a high value for you. I mean, you've worked here with us and I've worked with you, and that's important to you. So I think it is a big thing to give that up in order to pursue God. Yeah, and I think that's awesome. Hey, just almost like to finish off, when you were first a young mum and then progressing through to now, still like mum of all these kids, I know that that's been a difficult journey for you, from the viewpoint of really of how you see yourself and discovering, I guess, how God sees you. Just tell us a little bit about what you're sharing with me yesterday around that.
Yeah, so this, again, it was nice just sitting down this week and looking at this. I realised, unfortunately, that when you become a mum, you seem to be handed this ticket into the guilt club, and you join the guilt club, and it's not fair, but it happens. And it started for me when I was pregnant with Alyssa. She was breech, and I found out she was breech about a week before she was due. And I just felt so guilty that she was breech, because my midwife was telling me, sit like this, read the paper like this, lie on your bed like this. And I hadn't done it. I hadn't done it enough, and it was my fault that she was breech. And so I felt bad. And it wasn't my fault that she was breech, by the way. I found that out later, and it's not. And then you get this baby, and they're crying, and you put them to bed, and you're like, no, we're going to be tough. We're going to let this baby cry it out. That's how we're going to do it. And so you let them cry it out, and they keep crying, and they keep crying, and you finally stop, and you pick them up, and they do this huge burp. You just feel so bad that you'd been letting them sit there, lie there crying, and all they needed was 3 seconds of upright, let out the burp, and then she just goes to sleep beautifully. Mm. So, and then I had reflux children, and so you're struggling to feed them, and then your milk dries up, and then you have to bottle feed them. So you feel guilty that you had to bottle feed them, even though that's totally fine. But you just have this guilt, like, all the time. Everything you do, you just can't seem to do it well enough or good enough, and you've just got this guilt. And then the kids get older and they're past that little stage, and then they're driving you nuts, and they're not going to sleep when you say go to sleep, and they're not going to sleep, and you're so tired, and it's like, just close your eyes and go to sleep. And you just get so angry, bang the wall, yell at the kids, snap at them, and I go to lounge and bawl my eyes out yet again for being that terrible mother that yelled at her children. And it's just guilt, like, so much guilt. It's just kind of like, still, I'll do things all the time that, you know, I just feel bad. And this year it's just, I still do it, still. But when I give God those precious 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes of my life when I don't have those children. I can open his word and I just get his promises into my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just tells me, it's okay, you're okay. I decided not to put mascara on this morning. That was a good decision.
Good call.
Our life is a mess. It's like a tsunami of nappies. And I was thinking about it as well. Like, here's Tyler stands before me and he's struggling to put on his jersey and the sleeves inside this jersey. And he's just like fighting and fighting. And he's getting so grumpy and so cross. And I'm standing there right there going, hey, buddy, I can help you with your jersey. He's like, no. And he's fighting and fighting. And, you know, God is that for me. Like, here I am in my life and I'm fighting to get my jobs done and sort my kids out and get the lunches made. And I'm just fighting every day. And God's like, I'm right here. I'm right here beside you. Just talk to me. Just let me help you. And that's what I'm finding is when I open my word and open his word, I should say. And he's teaching me that love is a choice. It is. It's a choice. It's intentional. Love is not, you know, I don't just love God. It's like, it's a choice. And I give him my undivided attention. And he reminds me that I'm precious and I'm his. And that I am okay.
That's cool. We've got to wrap it up there. But it's been interesting. Like, and there's more to these stories, obviously. But both of you have expressed that, and even though you've both been on the journey for a long time of knowing God's love and seeking to love him and have this relationship, really in this year, as you are once again experiencing his love and intentionally like looking towards him, your love for him is growing and the expressions of that are growing. And that's, to me, that was the biggest encouragement meeting with each of you last week, was to go, I've known both of you for ages, you know, and Dee and I have worked together and Julie's been present for all my kids being born and all that kind of. We've got close connection with these two, and yet when I hear the two of you share last week of the new things you're discovering about God's love and the freedom that you're experiencing and these special moments that you're experiencing, I just think, man, that's on offer for all of us. You know, this pursuit of love this year, you could say, oh, are we going to get tired of this? Is this going to get monotonous? Is this going to get boring? No, this is life-changing. And we're going to keep coming back to his love for us, but we've got to start thinking about our love for him and what it looks like to give our hearts to him. And you're going to see, you're going to have a Julie who you know, she'll express some feelings in writing and she'll try and follow his promptings and give him glory. And then you'll have Dee who loves to just boogie and dance around the house and sing. The two of you are so different in your expression to God, and that's okay too, but you're finding your expression, you're finding your voice, you're finding your freedom. And we just want to be encouraged as a whole church family, not just to mums, but all of us here, that God is the one who's constantly loving us, but he's calling us to grow in our love for him more and more. But thanks so much for
that. Like when Campbell said, we were sitting here and he's like, oh, so what have you learnt this year? And I'm like, I don't know, you know, God isn't like, you are learning this year. Like, you have to take the time and you have to sit and look, and I had to flick through my journal and I had to really think. And that's the thing, is that for mums it's hard to sit and really think, but you have to sit and really think about it. Yeah. And then you're actually like, oh my goodness, God is actually teaching me right now. And I just hadn't paused to think about it.
Yeah, that's so good. Hey, let's just pray. Eh? Father God, I thank you that you are our Father in heaven. But you also, in your words, say that you are like a mother who brings comfort to us. Thank you for that. Thank you for Dee and for Julie and that that you love them. That's obvious, we know that. But thank you that they have responded and that they love you. And we just ask that you would meet them where they're at. Even today, even as they've been vulnerable and shared their hearts with us, would you fill them up and bring a peace to their day and a comfort to them today, as you would comfort them as a mother comforts her children. And they'll understand that, Lord. Thank you for the fact that we're in a season, and even though each one of us is so different, that together we can know more of your love. And I ask, Father God, that you will just draw deep from within each one of us just a voice and expression of love for you. And that you will just continue to change us and draw us to yourself. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.